order the regular scheduled meeting of the Board of Zoning Appeals. The notice to the public for this meeting, the time, the date, the place, and the agenda was published as a legal notice on August the 1st, 2016 in the Aiken Standard. Notices to contiguous property owners and signs were posted on the properties, and this was done on or before August the 3rd, 2016. Notices of the meetings were sent by August 19th, 2016 for posting on the city webpage, to the city clerk for posting on the finance and administration building notice board and the municipal building notice board at least 24 hours before this meeting. Agenda sheets were mailed or emailed to interested parties. As a reminder, it is unlawful for any person giving testimony to this board knowingly providing false information, and that's according to Section 22-9 of the Aiken Municipal Code. Each infraction is a separate offense with a penalty of up to 30 days in jail and or a fine of $1,092.50. To the board, you received copies of the minutes of the July 26, 2016 regular meeting. Are there any corrections or additions? The chair would entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we accept the minutes as written.
I second.
It's been properly moved and seconded. Do we have any discussion? Those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried. To persons appearing to the board, we ask that you please occupy the podium in front of us. Please speak into the recording devices so that your conversations with the board can be properly recorded. Please state your name and your address. We have no old business, so we'll move directly into new business. I call your attention to application 16-92006. It's a special exception request to build 12-unit multifamily development townhomes at 881 Lawrence Street Northwest. The property is zoned GB. To the city, has this been properly posted?
Yes, it has.
And were there any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
We received no inquiries.
Right. Do you have a presentation for us?
A brief one?
Yes. Thank you.
First, I'd like to call the board's attention to the note on the staff report that this project is significantly different than the one that the board heard about a year ago at the same location. Those differences were deemed significant enough so that this application was deemed not to have to wait for the one-year period for refiling. It's a new development. This development is for 12 residential units. There'll be three buildings, each containing four units. Within your agenda packet, Exhibit B, there's a site plan of this development, and for your convenience, Exhibit C was the site plan of the previous development so that you can see the differences between the two. The buildings are arranged linearly along Lawrence Street. Parking is provided between the buildings and Lawrence Street, as you see in the plan. Common area is available on the south end of the parcel. Detention facilities are located on the north end at the intersection of Lawrence with Lincoln Avenue. You can read through the staff report regarding the request for special exception meets the 11 criteria. If you have any questions about that or any other aspect of the proposed development. You know, please feel free to ask.
Do we have questions for the city?
I have questions, Mr. Chairman.
Pat?
Exhibit B, just for the record again, Exhibit B details the applicant's present plan, the plan he's making application for now, which shows three buildings, 40 by 100 each, 30 parking spaces, 4 units per building, for a total of 12 units?
Correct, on all accounts, correct.
Okay, what is Exhibit C?
Exhibit C is a copy of the site plan from the application that the board heard last year and denied.
Okay.
And that was for 23 units in a significantly different configuration.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions from the board? I notice in the description, are these townhomes?
They're classified as townhomes, yes.
And townhomes, I'm assuming they'd be purchased rather than rented, or both?
That has not been addressed in the application.
Any further questions from the board to the city?
Yes, sir. But maybe this might be a question for the applicant. The retention, the proposed detention pond or facility, given the drawing that we have here and then up there, you show dots around it. Does that indicate fencing? Do you know?
That's what we understand it to mean, but I see what you're saying. It's not actually labeled as such.
That's okay. True. I'll ask the applicant that. That's okay. Thank you.
Any further questions to the city? Thanks, Greg. Mr. Patel?
Good evening. Philip Green. I'm with Southern Partners, 1233 Augusta West Parkway, here on behalf of Mr. Patel. First, I'd like to apologize for missing the last meeting. I had been out of town, just did not get it on my calendar. Mr. Patel had asked me to represent him, and quite frankly, it slipped my mind. I apologize for that. But thank you for hearing us again. As was previously stated, this is a significantly different plan. We heard a lot of comments last time we were here with regards to open space, density, parking requirements. We have incorporated or tried to incorporate those into this plan. Again, we've gone from 23 units down to 12, basically cut that in half. The parking, last time we were at 1.5 parking spaces per unit. Here we're at a little over 2. I believe the board was looking for something close to 2, so we've exceeded that just a little bit. We still feel that this area, particularly on Lauren Street, fits into the comprehensive plan for residential development, even though this is zoned general business. There are, of course, a number of things that could be done commercially under the general business that would not require us to get the special exception. But again, given the character of this area, we feel residential is still a better fit. Again, we've gone to try to include most of the items that were brought up in the original meeting with this presentation. As far as the question regarding the dots around the pond, that's actually some bushes, some landscaping that the configuration goes. It actually goes up a little bit into the parking lot. Obviously, we can't plant there, but. Those were bushes. If the requirement for fencing is brought forth by engineering, assuming we can move forward with this site plan, we'll certainly do what the code requires and the city requires. I'd be glad to.
Mr. Green, I'll address the same question that I addressed to the city to you. Are these townhomes to purchase or to rent, or both?
The intent here would be rental units, so that rather than subdivide the property, just keep it all on the same property.
So then rental, how would they be controlled? Is there a residential manager office? Who would control the renting of the units?
Mr. Patel is a longtime resident of the city of Aiken. He has other developments within the city, and he would maintain management of the units.
But there would not be a local office there, like most units have a local office?
Well, his office is in Aiken, minutes away. So from that standpoint, again, he would be mere minutes away.
Questions from the board? Pat?
Again, to clarify what you're proposing, what you've designed, talking about three buildings with a footprint of 40 by 100, one-floor buildings.
Yes.
Four apartments per building, total of 12.
Yes, yeah, four townhome units per building, single story.
So on average, if they're all the same size, or even if they're not the same size, on average be 1,000 square feet per unit?
Yes.
Okay, and 30 parking spaces?
Yes.
Thank you.
John, did you say it was going to be single-story units?
Single-story, okay. Yes.
Yeah, question, Philip. Is there a... is there a bedroom delineation, numbers of rooms within these complexes? Did I miss that somewhere?
I don't know that the that my client has a particular floor plan yet.
Okay.
1,000 square feet are probably one or two bedroom apartments, townhomes.
That was just my curiosity. You don't... If somehow you're trying to squeeze three bedrooms into all 12 of these units, that's... Your building count's low, your density starts creeping back up in terms of numbers of people and all that.
Right. I haven't seen a floor plan of a typical townhome for this size, basically 25 by 40, that even considered.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I just wanted to ask.
Okay. Two things concern me. One is that there's no wash and dryer facility in the... there, and does that mean that they're going to put those in each apartment?
I would assume each apartment would have its own utilities. Yes, ma'am.
Each apartment.
Each
okay.
Apartment.
The other thing that concerns me is number four is compatible with the existing uses adjacent to and near the property and will not otherwise adversely affect the development of the general neighborhood. What concerns me is that Mr. Patel has rental property further down the street.
Yes, ma'am.
I rode through there today. The grass needs cutting, and there's trash all over everywhere. Now, this is on a busy street. We want it to, like I say, I feel like residential is what it needs to be. But is it going to be kept up? I went into the apartments next door. Beautiful. The lawn was cut. There was no trash anywhere. And we don't want this on Lawn Street if it's going to be trashy.
I understand. And obviously the intent is to provide a high-quality, affordable housing development for this part of Lawn Street.
Okay. But the other places, even though it's on Lawn Street, it doesn't count.
No, it counts. I mean, I drove through there the other day myself, and... I thought it looked decent for... It's my opinion.
Matter of opinion, then. Okay.
Fair.
Thank you.
Mr. Bush. Philip, on the... back to the question with regard to the retention pond, detention pond, and fencing and so forth. I assume that engineering and planning would address that or require that by code or address that in the code. Would that be right? If we have children running around and have a detention pond right there, that's an attractive nuisance to some extent.
Typically what they require is if it's over 4 feet deep, it requires a fence.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways that you can make that a more attractive fence if you also plant
right.
Prickly shrubbery,
right.
I think is the way the code requires it,
okay.
To create that barrier.
Okay. And going forward, if this committee approves the special exception, the I assume that you would have a landscape plan approved also by the city with regard to retaining trees and this kind of thing. You've got some nice trees on the hardwoods on the lot, and I assume that that would be addressed also, would it not?
Yes. Pending approval from this board for the zoning question, then the project goes to development plan review.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't understand the answer to his question. Will there be a fence around the detention pond, or there will not be a fence?
Again, that would be addressed at plan review time. Typically, by code, the city engineering requires a fence, usually 6 foot tall. That can be reduced to 4 foot tall fence if you plant shrubbery with prickly shrubbery to create a barrier. So my feeling would be that engineering would not give us a waiver. We would be planning it. We would be putting a fence around the pond.
Thank you.
Whether it be 6 or 4 foot.
Mr. Green, going back to Exhibit B, you're showing about a 10-foot buffer along the street of Lawrence Street. Have you gotten to the point where you have developed what that buffer will look like in terms of shrubbery, trees, noise abatement, those kind of things, or beautification?
Yeah, that strip, and you can see it doesn't go all the way to the back of the curb. Obviously, it would be landscaped to the back of curb there, in between the right-of-way and the back of curb. That's simply representing the street yard as required by code. But that entire area from the right-of-way to the back of curb would be landscaped. Trees and bushes would be planted along there as long as it'd be...
But it would do nothing for noise abatement.
We could put the topsoil berms across there and plant those. I've done that in numerous places. That seems to work well.
Yeah, because traffic along there is everything from big trucks to lots of cars and for a residential area. I guess the concern is that if this is going to be... What would be the rent income that you're going to rent these properties to? Would Section 8 vouchers be accepted?
I'd have to let my client speak to that. I'm not familiar with what the exact rental aspects of it.
What I'm trying to get at is, are these going to be a high-end, a low-end, a medium, a low rental units? How are we going to help beautify the area?
Right, I understand. But Keaton, you want to speak to that a little bit?
We'll have him read himself into the minutes.
I'm Ketan Patel, 111 Queens Court, Aiken.
The question, are you going to accept rentals in the units with vouchers, Section 8 vouchers?
It's going to be in like 650 to 750 range, so vouchers depend on what kind of people up there.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes senior citizens getting vouchers too, so I have no problem to accept those people. But not with the one voucher with 10 people, you know.
No.
Not with what?
Like voucher has about 5-6 kids at the same time. That we don't accept those people.
But that would require more bedrooms.
This is going to be 3-bedroom and 2-bedrooms.
Go ahead and answer. I'll ask the question too. What are you proposing different to make these, make people want to live there?
South Aiken High School up there, plus all this residential area. I have 34 units. Then there's some apartment behind that on the Lawrence Street, Lincoln Apartments, I guess. So pretty much it's a residential area, so that's what I thought. Plus I want to utilize that land, being last 10 years cutting grass, and it's become expensive for me to keep up.
Now you plan to manage the upkeep, to manage these apartments, because any number of apartment units are units for rent. Their problems almost daily, and you plan to manage the problem area generated by the units themselves from your office, your other office?
Yeah, right next to that.
Any board questions to Mr. Patel?
Is the fence that runs along the back, is that an existing fence that I'm looking at?
This existing fence for the...
Is that going to change at all? Is how much property or room will there be behind these units? How big a backyard will there be?
That's we have to go through the drawings, I guess, right?
Yeah, there's 25 feet of the property line. Actually, that fence line is the apartment state.
Mr. Green, would you come up and speak into the recording devices, please?
I apologize. There'll be about 20, 25 feet behind those units. And the fence line that you see is actually the apartment's fence that encroaches onto our property. They had indicated that they'd be willing to move that fence.
So the property line is that straight line that runs through it, and the fence meanders back and forth?
Yes, as was pointed out before, there are some nice trees on both of these properties, and that fence line dips and jogs to avoid and go around some trees.
Are any trees at risk being taken down for construction?
There's always going to be some taken down for construction.
Are there trees that are in the footprint of these buildings?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And again, in accordance with the tree ordinance, we have to enumerate all those trees, take every precaution that we can to save as many as we can.
Okay.
Maybe Mr. Patel can answer this. The Glen Arbor community that's behind or to the west of this proposed development, is that Mr. Patel's also?
No, sir.
Okay. Different ownership.
Different ownership.
Pat?
Are the units going to have washer and dryer hookups in them?
I believe they will, yes. Yes, ma'am.
And they're going to provide washers and dryers, or?
I don't know if you're not going to provide any kind of...
No, okay.
Yeah.
Is there a plan for what's the mail distribution plan? Is there going to be a delivered to each residence, or are you going to have a communal post office collection area? I don't see any outlier building or anything like that. What's the plan for mail?
Typically, the post office has been going to the cluster boxes, even in residential subdivisions.
Yeah.
I would imagine it would be placed down at the either in the open area, next to the dumpsters, or we may switch the dumpsters to the other side by the detention pond.
But that is another structure that will have to be put on there. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Any further questions from the board to Mr. Green? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have others to speak to the special exception request? Final call. Others to speak to the special exception request? Seeing, hearing none, the chair would entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
I made a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Pat.
I believe this application meets all of the criteria and should be granted with the following conditions. Number one, approval is granted to allow construction of a multifamily residential development at 881 Lawrence Street, as conceptually shown in Exhibit B. The development will not have more than 12 dwelling units. Number three, the development will have 30 parking spaces. Number four, the final order to be recorded in the Aiken County RMC office.
Do we have a second?
A second.
And properly second, but any discussion?
I was wondering, could we say a minimum of 30 parking spaces, just in case they're able to get more?
I would accept that.
Is that okay with the person seconding?
Yes, it's. I'm fine with it.
Friendly discussion. Hearing none, those in favor of the motion show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. I call your attention to application 1793001. It's a request for a variance to erect a second sign at 918 Hounds Lake Drive Southwest. This property is on GB to the city. Has this been properly posted?
Yes, it has.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
We have received no comments or inquiries.
Presentation.
This is the office building on Hounds Lake Drive, just a few hundred feet, I guess, north of the Hounds Lake Golf Clubhouse. The request is to allow a second freestanding sign advertising the tenants of the building. The purpose for the request for a second sign is related to the way the building itself is laid out. This description is in the application, but I will note that there are two addresses on the building. One address is for the main or front entrance that you can see on several of the photos that are attached to the staff report. The other entrance is for the ground floor of the building and is located to the left if you're facing the building. It's to the north. And that is addressed as 918. Interesting feature about the building is that when you're inside, there's no public access between the two floors, something I didn't realize when I'd been here before. But the other thing is that because of the mature vegetation, when you're standing in front of the building, you cannot actually see the second entrance, the one that's on the side. It's pretty well blocked by trees and shrubberies. That said, a single sign could advertise all the businesses in the building. The issue is how well a person would be able to find the entrance for those that are located on the ground floor of the building using that one sign, hence the request for the second freestanding sign.
What is the square footage of the sign that's there?
I can tell you it's less than 60 square feet because that's all they're allowed to get.
Okay.
Of course, part of our staff report is that 60 square feet is the maximum sign size that's allowed for the building. If the board were to approve the variance, a condition that maximum square footage apply to both signs. I would prefer not to hazard a guess about the current sign size, except that it is smaller than 60.
Other questions from the board to the city?
I have a couple questions, Mr. Chairman. See if I can understand this. There's one building with two addresses,
yes.
918 and 920.
Yes.
And there's two businesses, one on each address.
There are more than two businesses in the building, but some are on the main floor, addressed at 920. Some are on the ground floor, addressed at 918.
Okay. And two separate entrances from the street.
Correct.
But the reason we need a variance is because there's one building.
Correct.
Okay, and that's it. Because it's one building, mm-hmm. They're entitled to one sign.
Right. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
One freestanding sign.
Other questions from the board?
Sir, but if I understand right, then the second sign would indicate the business or businesses for 918.
Correct.
And in my site visit this afternoon, it appeared that there was one door or one entrance downstairs. If you walk around the building, downstairs, there's one door. It was locked. I rang the doorbell. There was no answer. So that is one business for down there. Do you know?
As far as I can tell you right now, there was only one business there, but I don't know what the layout inside is to whether it will accommodate more than one or not. But it is a separate addressed doorway on that ground floor. And although it's not particularly clear in any of the photographs, it has the 918 address on the wall right beside the door.
With the set of stairs approaching that address, approaching that entrance, is a set of stairs that go up to the ground level floor. Again, not being able to get in that way, that is associated with the business or businesses upstairs on the ground floor level. Is that right?
Correct. And when I went out to check the property from the main floor, I could not get into the office that has access to that outside stairway.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions for the city? Thanks, Greg. Ms. Kalinske?
I'm Dr. Maria Glensky. My address is 206 Pico Place, Lexington, South Carolina. I have owned the Hounds Lake building for the past 15 years. I purchased the building from Peggy Penland. I'm a veterinarian. For the last, 2 years ago, I closed my veterinary practice, but my animal hospital was actually on the ground floor of the Hounds Lake building. Ironically, I had a sign in the same location for nearly 10 years, a small sign, exactly the same style that's being proposed now. It had woodpecker damage, and we actually, when I was a veterinarian, we took the sign down, and I was having it repaired, and at that point, someone from the city came, this was about 5 years ago, and said that we actually couldn't have a sign there. We still had the post, and we were just having the sign repaired. So unbeknownst to me, it was actually a sign that Peggy had up there when I purchased the building. So I didn't even realize there was an issue with the sign at that point until someone came by with the city. And I'm just sharing this sort of history to give you an idea. I closed my practice 2 years ago. I had to have hand surgery, totally unrelated. And I have opened a Pilates studio downstairs, retired from veterinary medicine. I've renovated the downstairs. For about the past 10 years, I've had a chiropractor upstairs so that whenever any of my veterinary clients got lost or confused because of no sign, they would go upstairs and then get directions to be able to come downstairs to my building, to my entrance. Well, now Dr. Kim Hammondbuyer has downsized and moved out, and I now have 8 businesses altogether upstairs, renting space upstairs, but there's no central receptionist. So when my Pilates clients are now confused and they go to the front office, there's no one there to greet them and direct them back down. So I would say 9 times out of 10, even if I say park in the front but walk around to the left, everyone, the first time they come, they park in the front and they're just drawn like a magnet to the front entrance, which it has this, that's the front entrance. And then I think exhibit G, maybe, if you can just flip. Well, here's the big sign that you were just showing. There's the big sign. Everyone's drawn to the big sign. Mm-hmm. We now have a list of all the businesses getting ready to add the another one. And all of these businesses I want to add, I'll pay city of vacant taxes. So if you can flip one slide over and just show my entrance. This is my entrance, and the sign that we're suggesting is just simply a small sign on the right side so that as people are driving up the hill, they can see that they can turn here and park on the left side of the street. Often, well, I said 9 times out of 10, they go to the front. The other 10% of the time, they go into Bungalow Village. And so because they hear the word left, so they go, there's a big sign into Bungalow Village, so then they're drawn into my neighbor's yard, into the residential area. So the sign would really decrease confusion. And I've designed it with the sign company to be, you can see that the main sign that I have is very discreet. It fits in with the community. It's not neon red flashing signs. So, and the smaller sign would actually match the other sign, and except it would be smaller. And you were asking about the square footage. The square footage that we're allowed is 60 square feet. The one that we currently just designed is just about 26 square feet, so we're well within, and the other one is going to be very small and just hanging on one post. That's the plan. So
could you put a directional sign for
918
on the big sign?
And that was suggested back when the woodpecker damaged my other sign. The problem with that is there's such a distance. It's actually quite a long distance. And here, actually, this is a great picture. This is the sign I'm suggesting on that top picture, so people can see that they can park in that area. I also have a massage therapist business. You were asking about different businesses downstairs. Ironically, the downstairs has 4,000 square feet. The upstairs only has 3,000 square feet, so it's quite a large building. So I have a massage therapist, and we have plans to bring in two more massage therapists downstairs. So we want to... Some of the clients are elderly, and so we don't want them parking all the way at the front and then having to walk down the sidewalk and then go all the way up the sidewalk. So we're trying to make it as convenient for people as possible. So to answer your question about the directional, I think the big sign is more than 100 feet away, and it would just, the layout of the land doesn't lend itself to sort of an arrow pointing that way. It would be confusing. I think it would still be confusing.
Other questions?
Now, you are going to replace the main sign, right, with a newer one?
No, the new sign has just been replaced.
That is the one.
That is the new one.
Okay.
That's been replaced. It was much bigger, and it said Kim Hammond Buyer, and since she's just moved, we've just this past month put the new one up.
Okay, because I had noticed that the last couple times I've ridden through there, that was there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the new sign is going to be... right in that area where the plantings could go, right?
Where the
plantings could go.
Exactly, right in the flower,
right
behind the flower bed. It's sort of a hill. Yes, it would go right there so that as people come up the hill, there's sort of this moment of confusion. They don't know where to go, and that would draw them to that side.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
So the second sign will be near the separate, about 100 foot to the east sidewalk entrance. There's two separate sidewalk entrances.
There's two separate sidewalk entrances, and yes, the newer sign that I'm requesting, the smaller sign, is for the smaller entrance right there. And it would go right there beyond the flower bed, right on that hill.
I think you mentioned something about sizes. Did you measure the current sign, and do you know the size of your proposed sign?
The current sign is 26 square feet. It's under 30 square feet. We're allowed 60.
Yes.
The newer sign is basically 2 feet by 3 feet total, so 6 feet along with the post.
So the total of the two of them will be well under 60 square feet.
Yes, it actually, the sign people have said it will actually be under 40 square feet, so we're well within the 60.
Hmm. Your current practice is veterinary.
I am a veterinarian.
Yes.
Currently, I developed a Pilates. I have a Pilates studio, Pilates and yoga studio downstairs, and I have a massage therapist downstairs, and I have space for two more massage therapists. So we do group classes, private classes, and then the massage therapist does her treatments there.
Okay, your previous business is a veterinarian.
Yes.
Let me say this. About 10 years ago, we had a dog who had a hip operation, and we brought him to you for physical therapy. And I believe your business was done on the ground floor,
right,
the lower level.
At 918, yes.
And we did have confusion finding where you were.
Oh, good. Well, that helps.
And with a dog in kind of in a sling to support his rear extremities, it was about a 75-pound dog. Confusing and, a little difficult, right, getting him to the right, down the right place, which happened to be our second choice. So I can understand the confusion.
Okay, thank you.
But you're no longer in that business.
No, I'm retired from veterinary medicine right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other?
John? The current sign, it runs perpendicular to the street. Is the proposed sign, and it's not clear on this illustration, is that run parallel to the street, or will it be perpendicular like the original sign?
No, that's a great question. It's actually at an angle so that as you're driving from the bypass up toward the building, you can see that side of the sign. It will face the road at a slight angle. And when you say perpendicular, you're saying that it's, yes, perpendicular to the current building, the front sign.
To the road.
To the street,
okay, the
right,
curb.
Perpendicular to the curb. This one is obliquely perpendicular, so that if it were purely perpendicular, then you wouldn't be able to read it as you drive up. So it's turned slightly so that as people come up from the bypass, which that's the way most people come when they're entering Hounds Lake, they would be able to read it more easily. And yet it's still visible as you're coming, if, for instance, they came from the golf course or from the club, you'd still be able to see it coming this way. But it's really designed more for the first timer so that they can find it more easily. And I would say most of the time they're coming from the bypass. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Obliquely perpendicular.
The existing sign is externally lit. Would this one, the proposed sign, be externally lit as well?
Yes, I would like to do that. And that's actually my plan. I've already, I have the electricity already there because I have the post, and I've met with my contractor, and he said it would be very easy to go under the sidewalk and then put the sign there, or put the light there, yes. Because we do have some evening classes, so I want that lit as well.
Other questions from the board? Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Do we have others to speak to the variance request? Final call, others to speak to the variance request? Seeing, hearing none, the chair would entertain a motion so we can end a period of discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I will move for the approval of a second freestanding sign with both signs being of similar design, color, and materials as shown in the variance application 1793001. The total sign area for both freestanding signs will not exceed the 60 square foot maximum permitted for an office in the GB zoning district. The approval will run with the land and final order be recorded at the Aiken County RMC office.
I second.
Been properly moved and second. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion should I raise their right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. If you would entertain a motion for adjournment.
I so move.
Second.
You stand adjourned.